flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And good Saturday morning to you. And, you know, it's February, which is the shortest and, in my book, the worst weather week of the year. But still a lot of things to do. And, you know, for some strange reason, there was a lot of people around New Orleans as I was driving around there yesterday. You know, the airport had a lot of stuff going on and people going downtown and out-of-town license plates. But, you know, the strange thing was nobody had fishing poles or any shotguns or rifles. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe somebody out there can tell me if you know what's going on bringing all these people into South Louisiana this weekend. Text me, 504-260-1870. That's our in-studio text line. Well, we do have a lot of alternatives still to go. We're talking like fishing speckled trout, redfish, bass, white perch opportunities. And, man, what a change weather-wise this week, huh? We went from 8 to 10 inches of snow along the Gulf Coast to 80-degree temperatures, one extreme to the other. But I got a feeling the summer's not here yet. We still, I think, have some cooler weather still ahead. Well, there's still lots of prime hunting time, although it doesn't seem like it weather-wise, for rabbits and squirrels, a small game. I had a fun squirrel hunt this week in Mississippi, a Tigers in the Wild episode. I'll tell you more about that. If you're a bird hunter, well, things are kind of wound down, ducks closed, but you still do have some snow and blue and Ross's geese. It's open under the conservation order where they relax the rules, no limits on those birds. And yes, Virginia, there is such a thing as a snipe and a snipe season. In fact, if you've got a lowdown on a good snipe field and you wouldn't mind sharing it with our Bayou Wild TV crew, we've been looking to film a snipe shooting. I haven't been on one of those in a good one in a long time. Contact me. Let me know. And you can include that in with your regular hunting and fishing reports, your questions, your comments. Remember that in-studio text line open for you during the 2 hours we're on the air at 504-260-1870. We'll also continue the latest assessment of the fish kills along the Louisiana Gulf Coast from that extreme winter weather pattern that we had experienced. Also, can maybe run down some more of those extended seasons. You know, because of the loss of 2 days in Louisiana and because of regulations that were written into in Mississippi, you're going to be able to do a little bit of small game and, in some cases, some extended archery season for deer. It'll go to March 2nd on some of those, like the squirrels and the rabbits, and some special areas are going to go all the way to February the 15th on the archery season for deer. Well, we also have two special guests this morning. Derek Poore, you may recall, we had him on last year. He's going to join us again to tell us how you can get involved with Tusks and Troops, a Feral Hog Benefit Tournament. And then later we're going to talk with Captain Christian Orfanello of CETO. And he's going to share with us some of his more memorable rescues they've made and maybe give you a few tips to keep you from experiencing the same thing. Because the wintertime, that's when we got the lowest tides and the coldest water temperatures and the most dangers prevalent. Well, we also have details about some on-the-road live broadcasts of this show. We'll be broadcasting from Alberta, Alabama next month. There's also another show from Mandeville. We'll give you little details on that. And say, have you ever heard of a coot looter? Well, I got a story of a couple of them. They're also known as our weekly bad boys of the outdoors. And also another story about some Louisiana waterfowlers who didn't exactly do a great job of representing the state well during a recent trip to Texas. And if you are lucky enough to be headed out this weekend, well, here's what you're looking at coastal marine forecast-wise. Offshore are going to be laid down nice. South winds 5 to 10 today, 2-foot seas. They'll drop to 5 knots tomorrow. And then on the interior lakes and bays, that 5 to 10 southerly wind will have a light chop today, but dropping down to 5 knots tomorrow in smooth conditions. I got to tell you, Lake Pontchartrain was as still as I've ever seen it yesterday. Some nice boating conditions out there, and again, warmer weather. Average tide, rocking and rolling, almost a 2-foot range, 1.9, and the Mississippi River, well, she's a rising. She's at 4.4. All right, we'll be right back to kick off our regular field reporters and hear from what they have to say, how the fishing went this week, and anything else you need to know before your trip into the great outdoors. It's what we do 5 to 7 every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got our live report with Robbie Campo from Campo's Marina, but I'm getting some text messages in with some explanations on why this huge amount of traffic and onslaught of visitors to the New Orleans metro area. I got this text. Now, stay with me. This one text says it's because of the appearance of the spelling is S-U-P-E-R-B space O-W-L. Superb Owl is coming to the Louisiana Superdome tomorrow. Superb Owl. I haven't heard of that one. Then I got someone else that is some kind of a football game and some guy's blonde-headed singing girlfriend's going to, I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, maybe Robbie's got some ideas. Robbie, what's going on with all these people in town, all these out-of-town visitors?
Well, you know, Don, this city's going to be crazy this week, this weekend for sure. And, I imagine if Swifty's in town and President Trump's in town in the same building, that place, they might blow the roof off of that place.
Them and the Superb Owl. I can't believe all of that's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if somebody wants to escape, what are they going to find to go catch fish down there in Shell Beach?
Well, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a recap starting back from the beginning of the week. You know, Don, February is one of these months, it's either going to be like it is now or it's going to be 39 degrees and blowing out of the north. And you know, February is one of these months where it's probably one of the least favorite months to fish out of any month of the year besides August. But I can tell you, with this warm-up, since we've had this snowstorm, with this big warm-up, these fish have turned on. At the beginning of the week, you know, I've seen a lot of fish come across this table this week. No bait in the bellies. Well, toward the latter part of the week, we started seeing glass minnows in these fish. So, and a speckled trout. So what that's telling me is if you've got any kind of bait that resembles a glass minnow, you know, the Miradon jerk baits has been good. The Marker 54 shrimp has been okay. But anything that resembles a glass minnow, and if you don't have that in your box on the way down here this morning, stop and get some somewhere, because this is what these fish feed on at this time of the year, because there are no shrimp in the inside, so they're eating whatever they can ambush and baits they can ambush and eat to fill their stomachs. They have to survive, and this water warming up like it has done here this past week, Don, these fish have turned on with an eyesight of this marina. I'm telling you, I saw some beautiful catches come across the dock this week. But a lot of the fish that were caught you know, you have to have the troll motor down, and you have to be trolling. It's not a one-stop shop. Until yesterday, yesterday kind of changed that a little bit. Right here by the old Fort Beauregard, right out here, they caught some limits out there yesterday that was just unbelievable. And these fish didn't have to measure, just almost none of them. They were just that nice of fish. So we've seen a lot of good speckled trout come across the table this week.
It sounds good because, you know, we're a little bit concerned about the freeze, and I got an official word from the department on it, and I don't think it's going to be nearly as serious as what a lot of people thought it was going to be. Speaking of seriousness, Robbie, if someone hasn't left yet or on their way down there, I do have some reports of some dense fog in some areas. What can you tell us about fog on the water and on the highways?
Well, what I could tell you about when I drove through, you know, because I live in Miro, so when I was driving down, it wasn't that bad. And it wasn't that bad when I got here, but I think what it's going to do, it's starting to get thicker as we, you know, as I'm talking to you, since I got here. Yesterday morning, the closer daylight got, the thicker it got, and it lingered around until around 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, and it would come like in waves, you know, it would clear up a little bit and then it would get thick again. So I think that's going to be the same scenario for today. Just be careful driving down here. It wasn't that bad on the four lane, like I said, on the LA 46 coming down this way. But I do suspect that the closer we get to daylight, the worse it is going to get.
Gotcha. Anything else before you go, Rob?
Well, that about wraps it up. Just if you into fishing right now, come on down and get in some of this action right here while getting good, because, you know, like I said, February is one of these months where, you know, this could change like a light switch and we'd be back to 39 degrees, you know. So, you know, you might as well take advantage of it while the weather's nice. Make sure you get you some. We have gnat spray here. This is that time of the year done with this fog. It's the perfect scenario for them. They weren't too bad yesterday, but I started seeing some yesterday evening. So make sure you got your gnat sprays. And if you didn't renew your CTO membership, do so, because the water is very low. You don't want to be out there and getting stuck at this time of the year. If you're going out to go do any sheephead fishing by the Long Rocks, do not take that spoil canal this morning. That's a no-no. Go around through Bayou La Lucha, through Baker's, and go out through Bay Elwha. It's going to be a safer route because the water is very, very low here this morning.
All great advice. Thank you, Robbie. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next Saturday. Bye-bye, Don.
There he goes, Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we come back. I'm going to give you the official word from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery on their assessment of the saltwater fish kills from the recent winter weather. And also, we got a freshwater report. This is some good freshwater time, especially up in Toledo Bend. Josh Sykes has sent us a report. We'll share that with you right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I've been getting lots of inquiries about the degree of seriousness of the fish kill that occurred back when we had the Arctic blast. And since January 24th, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries here in Louisiana has investigated 71 fish kills and checking coastwide observations in each of the three major basins. Now, the kills they found were spread out along the coast, but not all coastal areas were affected, and not all to the same degree. From the initial observations, the highest levels of speckled trout and black drum mortalities were observed in the Terrebonne-Timbaleer Basin. That's your center portion of the state. The highest redfish and sheephead mortalities were in the Barataria Basin, again, kind of central Louisiana coast. But in general, the highest overall on a variety of species were in the coastal marshes between the Mississippi River going westward to the Atchafalaya River. Except for striped mullet, there was a high observed mortality east of the Mississippi River there. Now, the biologists are continuing to document dead fish and investigate the fish kills and relay that information to the public in order to help quantify the impacts of the freeze. While these fish kills occur rather recently. They could have a noticeable impact on the fish populations, but you might not notice that for a year or more down the event. Again, a lot of times bait fish, the forage fish are affected, and that eventually affects the feeding and the overall health and population of some of the predatory species. But as of right now, the final word is they are not expecting any need for any management or regulation changes as a result of the kill. And that report you heard from Robbie was pretty sharp and good, and it kind of lives up to that. I don't think the easternmost part of the state and the westernmost part were near affected. Seemed like Lafitte, Barataria, maybe Timbalia, some of those areas, Grand Isle, probably experienced the worst, but it doesn't seem like it's all that serious. So that is some really good news, and again, they'll continue to monitor it, and if changes are warranted, they'll bring those about. All right, got a Toledo Bend fishing report from our friend Josh Sykes up at Bent Rods Guide Service. Now, he gives me the report on, they call them crappie. Of course, other places they're known as white perch and sockeye. He says they're on the move, and they're transitioning shallow water, getting ready for the spawn. The water temperatures have warmed up there to the 60s, and that when that happens, that pushes them into 5 to 10 feet of water, and they'll stage around stumps and grass lines. They're using roadrunner baits and a bright-colored jig or a shiner set under a cork. That's been the best-producing baits. As far as bass fishing on the bend, this week, welcome change. They've been catching a lot of pre-spawn female fish in the grass along 5 to 8 foot of water on red and gold rattle traps. They're also using some green, and I knew it was going to jump on me, green pumpkin chatterbaits and a jerkbait. The bass are in the back, one-third of the creeks. They're following the grass and the stump lines into the shallow water. Right now is the time to catch some quality bass fishing old school and not even using the live scope or the electronics. And that's from our friends at Bent Rods Guide Service. If you'd like to get in touch with them, you can check them out on Facebook or Google them. Or I've got a phone number for Josh if you want to text me, and I'll be glad to send it to you. All right, we got all that to talk about. Also, something coming up next month. This is going to be at the end of the month, March 29th, the 76th annual Big Bass Rodeo at New Orleans City Park. It's the oldest freshwater fishing rodeo in the nation, and there's categories and activities for all ages and skill levels. There's adult, youth, team divisions for bass and brim. And has also been added in recent years so you can fish in kayaks in Bayou St. John and other non-motorized vessels. So check it out. You can go to New Orleans City Park and find out more information about it. It's also listed on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website there. We'll have some more coverage of that coming up for you. All right, Bayou Wild TV. Got a chance to record another Tigers in the Wild episode this week. There's a guy on the LSU track team, and he's, you might consider, a superstar. He's got a shot at possibly going to the Olympics. He specializes in the 400-meter hurdles, and his name is Sean Burrell, but his nickname is Squirrel, and we took him squirrel hunting with us. Had some folks up at the sanctuary, and we had a great time up there. Chris LeCocq, our photographer, Lance Burgos came along with us. Jim Walker, a former Department of Mississippi Wildlife and Fisheries Communications Director, and some other folks went up there. We had the dogs out there, and we had a pretty good hunt. I think we bagged a total of 18 bushytails, and Jeff Rogers, owner of the sanctuary, was kind enough to let us go in there now that all their other seasons are over. And there's still a lot of good late-season squirrel and rabbit hunting to take place, and you got those extensions. You'll be able to hunt them this year until March the 2nd. A couple of extra days because of the inclement weather and kind of cut back hunters' access to those areas. So the department decided to move them on up a little bit. All right, we got more to talk about. Going to get to your text messages if you want to shoot us one. It's 504-260-1870. You got a wide variety, some hunting reports, some general information, and some pretty good fishing reports coming from you, our listeners. And we love to hear from you. It's one text away is all it is, 504 1-800-875-1870. And we'll be back to share them with you right after this quick 3-minute pause where you are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. As I mentioned, next month, March, we're going to have a couple of on-location, on-the-road shows. We love to take this show on the road. It's been all over, believe me. Besides Louisiana, we have done this show from Alaska, from South Dakota, from Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina. We kind of travel the country. But most of all, we do it right here from St. Hubert's Cathedral. But anyway, we've got a couple of special shows coming up and want to invite you to come out there. Come say hello, introduce yourself, and chat with us while we're out there. On Saturday, March 8th, we will be at the Open House at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama. We've been there for the last couple of years doing their boat show. Always have a great time over there with Lucio and his gang. And if you're a South Alabama, Baldwin County, maybe Florida listener, great opportunity to come on over and see us. They're going to have free food starting at 8 o'clock. They're going to have a lot of different boat brands. It's a big boat show. SunTracker pontoons, Regency tritunes, the Grizzly all-weld aluminum boats, Tracker fishing boats, Nitro performance boats, the Tahoe runabouts, the Mako fishing boats, Tracker side-by-sides, the quietest bike on the market, they call it. And they've got Yamaha, Mercury, and believe me, if you need a boat of any type, you're going to find it there at Scott's Marine. They've got free Bass Pro Shop gift cards on some of the models. And Mercury's going to be giving free extended warranty on selected horsepower. So it's a big event. It's a big weekend, March 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we will be there on the 8th doing this show live. And we'll be hanging around there, going to have some special prizes. Uncle Larry's is going to be sending us some Ready, Set, Gumbo to pass out, also some stew and a few samples, and you get the chance to meet the famous Wingbone, our turkey wingbone craftsman. I'm talking about Ed over from Wilmer, Alabama. Ed Miller's going to be out there. He can kind of show you his collection, and he's also going to be doing a demonstration on how turkey wingbone calls are made. And yeah, you can go out and buy different type of calls, diaphragm calls, box calls, slate calls. Most turkey hunters like me have more turkey calls than they'll ever use. But the wing bone call made from the wing of a turkey is a lot of tradition, a lot of heritage and culture, and a lot of love goes into making them. And Ed's a real craftsman. Come on out and see him and take a look. You can even demonstrate on how to make them and how to blow those wing bone calls. That's going to be on March the 8th. And then the following week, I'm going to be in Mandeville. It's Marsh and Bayou's. You know, they're the guys with the magazine, Marsh and Bayou Magazine. They've also got a retail store in Mandeville. And each year they do what they call a spring fling. They get the manufacturers' reps out there, bring out a lot of new products, introduce those, and we cut up and have a lot of fun as we head into the spring fishing season. So put those on your calendar, and if you can, come on by and say hello. All right, we're going to do a quick 10-second station identification pause, and then I'm coming back with some of your text messages. Stay tuned. We'll be back after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's see where we are here. We got, I know we had a good report. Yeah, here's one. It says, good morning. I was able to put together a limit of trout on Thursday using H&H Baby Bull minnows under a 4-horseman cork in the Barataria Basin. Water was unseasonably warm at 68 degrees and lower than normal. Very happy to report I did not see any signs of dead fish in the area and was even able to catch and release a few bull reds before calling it a day. That's from Smokey. Great report, Smokey. You had a wonderful trip, and glad to hear that the fish kill situation there is not as bad as some people suspect it to be. I also got a text from my friend Toby. In addition to his tempting and tantalizing pictures of those gobblers on his hunting lease, he also sent me a reading of the waters in Delacroix. 73 degrees this week in Delacroix. Water temperature's warming up. That means good fish activity. All right, here's another text. This one is it's from Slim. He's enjoying the show on the way to work. He enjoys it every Saturday morning. All right, thank you. I think he's from the Lafayette area. And then we have this one from the match director said, as regards the spelling of the dodo bird, this came up last week. He said, we both got it wrong in Louisiana. It's spelled dodo, D-E-A-U-X, D-E-A-U-X. Well, for my money, I think it's D-O-D-O, all one word. But maybe in South Louisiana, they do things a little bit different. All right, here's another one says that the superb owl is bringing people to New Orleans. What is this superb owl I keep seeing? Here's one says, this is from Big Easy. He belongs to the Abita Hunting Club. He hung up the deer gear. He's picking up the fishing poles. And I think a lot of people are joining us. He's headed to sell beets in the fog. Let us know how you do, Big Easy. And we got the backstrap stacker checking in from Mobile. As deer season ends this weekend, the warm weather slowed down the deer movement. The turkeys think it's mid-spring and are everywhere. Don't worry, they'll disappear by the end of March. Y'all have a good one. Yeah, you know, turkey activity certainly is stimulated by, you know, warm-ups and good, pleasant weather. But the real motivator for turkey activity, the breeding and the gobbling, is the length of the day. And, I mean, I have noticed, I've been turkey hunting for 40 years, and it's like clockwork when those birds start gobbling and when they stop. And I'm a firm believer, and I think they know it, and it was done intentionally. Louisiana seasons are just set too doggone late. We miss a lot of good time. And if you got to cut the limit down, that's fine with me. But that's the whole sport, is calling them. And when they're not calling, you may as well be hunting something else. All right, here's a recommendation on a snipe spot, Bonnycarry Spillway. Try the fields along the river. I have hunted them there. That area is kind of hit and miss. I guess most areas are for snipe. You know, it depends on the weather and the water, the hydrology conditions. They require some pretty specific habitat. But anybody got any leads on snipe hunting, public or private areas, let me know. Here's one that says it's National Boy Scout Day today. That's from Old Man Sam. Well, happy Boy Scout Day to all you Boy Scouts. And, you know, Boy Scouts from all the years, they have a natural tie to the outer doors, you know, camping and going out there and doing survivalist skills and orienting with compasses. And a lot of the same skills shared with hunters and fishermen is natural for Boy Scouts. All right, here's one from Ohio, a talking point, 17-minute sturgeon season. Whew, that's not long. It was at Black Lake in Michigan. It's an ice fishing event. You can only use a spear. They took 7 fish. The largest was 78 pounds. The reason they opened it was for a Department of Natural Resources research. It says, do not mess with Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Here's another one says, thanks for the show and all the reports. Info's helpful. I just wish I could get away. Fishing over here is so slow, so more time spent around the house. And the marsh still got biscuits and Buddha. That's from our friend Lafayette Jacker. You got to make that time, Lafayette Jacker. Get out there and get it. All right. Oh, that was from St. Francisville on Slim. All right. Very good. Thanks for the text. We'll get to some more of those later on. But we come back after this break. We're going to tell you about some more news that you might be interested in hearing right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right. Each week, we give out our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'd love to hear from our audience, and they give us some reports. Sometimes we get breaking news from them, find out about different things. They can be our eyes and ears and with reports and other information, and sometimes they got some questions, and we try to answer them for them when we can. Got a couple of texts just came in. This one says his nephew was setting 24 yo-yos. In case you're not familiar with a yo-yo, it's not always the little wooden or plastic object on the end of a string that you do tricks with. A yo-yo is a fishing device. It's basically like a little wheel, a little pinwheel, and it's got a line, and you attach a hook to it. You tie it off to a tree, and it's got a little catch on it. And when the fish takes the bait and starts to swim off with it, it releases it, and the spring inside actually fights the fish and brings it to the top eventually and wears it down. It's like an automatic fishing reel, if you will. Well, anyway, he said he caught 12 before he could set the last yo-yo out. Well, that's pretty quick action. That was in the Buff River in Caldwell Parish, but you didn't tell us what species. You know, a lot of people use them for catfish. Other people use them for the white perch. Which was it you caught them on with those yo-yos? Here's one that says, I wish they changed the turkey season back to March like they used to, too late in April. I agree with you 100%. We miss a couple of really critical weeks. I think the peak of the turkey season is now during the youth season. That's when most gobbling takes place, and I've been out every turkey season for, I don't know, the last who knows how many years. And that's what I have found out. Now, they did it intentionally. They said we were killing too many turkeys. We didn't have enough turkeys in Louisiana. And there's an argument against that in that some areas, yes, have suffered depleted turkey populations. But there's a lot of areas with a lot of turkeys. And I think they need to go more to what they've done with deer season and create more than just three zones. The zones are too broad. You can have an abundance of turkey on one lease, and then you go several miles far away, and it's not as populated as the other. They should have a shorter season or a later season or a lower limit. But to move it out of the peak gobbling period, that is just destroying the sport of turkey hunting, because that's what turkey hunting is all about. It's not picking up the gun and putting the bead on a turkey's head and pulling the trigger. I mean, that's certainly putting the period at the end of the sentence, as they say. But the real challenge in turkey hunting is fooling that gobbler, making him think he's coming to a hen, remaining motionless because they've got the eyesight of a hawk, they've got the hearing. The only thing they can't do is they don't smell like a deer. But it's a very challenging, I think the most challenging animal on North America. If you go out in the woods and you come back with a turkey and you did it legally, you are an accomplished hunter. But to do that, to move it out of the time, used to always be in March, it's still that way in Mississippi. Other states have later gobbling periods. But in Louisiana, we really need that season to open in March. And hopefully, the accounting method that I've looked at, I think it's a mess. I don't think they have a handle. I mean, they've got conflicting numbers on how many hunters there are and how many birds they take, and the number of hunters that respond to the surveys about how many birds they've taken as opposed to the number of tags that are validated as what's actually killed. Big, big disparity. So the turkey program in Louisiana needs some work, and I think it would come from the turkey hunters themselves. They would volunteer to do some information and reporting like some of the other states do. Anyway, you know, when I see something that I think is not competent, I'm going to say it. And I think that's where we are with the Louisiana turkey season. All right, let's see. We got this calendar marked for March 8th. I'll be, in addition to catching up with you and Wingbone, it'd be great to see Lucio again and talk about some melaton and cucuza growing techniques between his boat sails. That's from my friend David in Mobile. Yeah, David, look forward to seeing you over there. And we're going to get a report from David. You know, coming up on February 22nd is the Boucherie, which is a real fantastic food and cultural event that Chef John Folt sponsors at his White Oak estate and gardens up there in Baton Rouge. And David's been one of the stalwarts who does some cooking up there and some very unique dishes, you know, coon and rooster stew. And they've got beaver tail up there. And, of course, they use every part of the hog and show you how they do it. All right, here's one that says the white perch have moved to the bluff banks. Shiners under about 6 inches under a cork right up against the bluff bank is very productive. The nephew was catching white perch on those yo-yos. That's from old man Sam. Been a while since I've fished with a yo-yo. I do have one I keep on my desk, and just as a kind of reminder about it. It's never hit the water, and maybe someday I'll get it out there. All right, we come back after this fishing report from Grand Isle. Captain Darryl Carpenter checks in with us, see how this nice warm weather affected the fishing down there this week. His report is next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And, Darryl, did you guys break out the sunscreen and the ice packs this week? Man, we had some summertime-type weather down there the last couple of days.
It's been wonderful, man. This early spring, I just wish it was here to stay. But we all know we always get those cold snaps in March, so it's coming. It's going to be that up and down, you know, that teeter-totter of spring 1 week and winter for 2 weeks and, you know, back and forth. It's going to send everything into a tipsy. It's been a heck of a week, Don. I mean, man, it warmed up great, got some really good weather in it, and started getting some really, really good fishing reports. A whole lot of small fish, so We know that some got killed. We know that happened in the freeze. But what we did not know, and we'll have to wait to see, was what lived. And it looks like we had a heck of a crop of fish that lived. A whole lot of trout, a whole lot of redfish, a lot of smaller fish. There, that's going to, you know, those just under the new limit size fish. which is going to mean, number one, our big girls haven't come in yet. Number two, we got a heck of a crop coming up for the fall. You know, for the fall. So it looks like it's going to shape up to be a pretty good year. We still need a little more time to tell for sure, but it looks like it's going to be a really good year. If you're coming down this morning, you might want to be a little bit careful. It's weird, Don. It's changing. You know, every 30 minutes or so, it's changing. What, an hour ago, we were fogged in extremely bad. Now, boom, it's all gone. Yeah. So we've got some fog rolling in off the Gulf. You just got to be careful about. We got an all-day tide. You got an all-day rising tide and a heck of a tide. So there's no need to jump out there real early. This isn't June. So just give it some time. Be careful. But, man, there ought to be some fish caught today.
What about the side of the road fishing? What can you tell us?
Hadn't heard a whole lot on side of the road. I mean, that was where we experienced a lot of the fish kill. You know, you've got these big tides coming, so it ought to be bringing in new crops of fish. But haven't heard a whole lot on the side of the road the last few weeks. And, of course, the weather's been nice. You know, I mean, that's a fishery that explodes. The worse the weather is, the better that fishing is. But, hey, I wanted to I don't know if it's hit the market yet, but I heard Robbie talking about the fish over there being full of ghost menace. I'm sorry, being full of glass menace. There was a, I don't know if it's hit the market yet, but there was a prototype that we were testing last year. Captain Lane's ghost menace, he was making a mini. And that mini looked like a baby glass menace. And man, can I tell you, that thing just was destroying some fish last year. I looked on his website just now. I haven't seen that it's hit the market or hit the website yet. But man, when that thing hits production, it's going to be as good as that Marker 54 shrimp.
Yeah, there's another one. I can't recall the name right now, but it's a downsize, and it's clear. You can almost see through it, and it's got the little fork tail, and it's small, and they use it a lot of times for nighttime fishing underneath the lights, and that's another one that imitates that glass minnow. And when Robbie was telling me about that, I was thinking about that particular bait. I got a pack of them around here somewhere, but I can't find them right now.
I hear you, man. But look, I've learned over the last couple of years, just really got back to concentrating on my plastic like I used to back in the bass world. And there are days when size really does matter. And when size matters, you downsize. And, you know, if those fish were just, if they were finishing up their feeding period and they were looking for just one last little snack, they're not always looking for those big baits. And, man, those little baits were tearing them up last year.
Yep, and like Robbie was saying, you know, live bait is very, very scarce. Fish are looking for whatever they can find, so make sure you bring some plastics with you, your favorite ones that you have confidence in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that time of the year, of course, we got to have the dead shrimp, you know, the stink crickets. But because, I mean, the sheephead haven't really ganged up yet, but, you know, that's going to be a great introduction for the spring, and can't stress enough that if, you know, you got spring coming, hunting seasons are ending. If you want to introduce a kid to fishing and keep him from getting bored, we've got an upcoming sheephead run that is just going to be the opportune time to send a kid saltwater fishing and have him just have to just put the pole down to take a break.
Yeah, can't wait till we get out and we record some on tape and we can put that on Bayou Wild and show people all the pleasures of fishing sheephead if they've never enjoyed it, because it's a great fish for both the table and to fight. Dal, if somebody wants to get on your calendar and book a trip with you in the next several weeks, tell them how to get you.
Yeah, so they can find me on your site at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or they can find me at RealScreamers.com, or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
Are you going to be at the LCBA meeting coming up soon?
Probably so. It depends on this weather and some fiberglass. I've got a boat that's getting I'm doing a lot of glass work on a boat, and it's got to be ready and back on the water for March 1st. So it depends on what the weather lets me do.
I got you. Well, I hope to see you there if you can make it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Catch up with you next week.
Have a good day, Don.
Stay safe. That's Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, we come back after the top of the hour. Derek Poore is going to join us to talk about troops and TUS. We got Chris Orfanello talking about CETO, Ryan Lambert, and Captain Eric and Captain Mike all coming.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Up next. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Glad to have you with us. And getting back to some of our questions that come in, we're going to hopefully make contact with Derek Poore. And if not, well, I'll tell you all about what's coming up on February. Well, he's supposed to be on here today, but we got February 22nd and 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be the Troops and Tusks 2025 festivities. Now, this is a feral hog tournament where teams go out, try to bring back as many feral hogs, which accomplishes a couple things. Number one, it actually eliminates some of the overpopulation of feral hogs. Number two, it provides a lot of good protein and meat for Hunters for the Hungry and other charities. And it also raises funds for veterans. And the gates will open on Saturday from noon to 8. They've got some live entertainment going to be there. Prentice James from 4 to 6 and Bad Boys from 6 to 8. And then on Sunday, opens early at 8 a.m. That's the main event. And you can catch Kent Saunier and also Swampland Revival. So there's a lot going on. It's at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds on Main Street in Delcrum. It's not hard to find. You can enter your team. And I'll give out Derek's information for you if you want to contact him for that. You can also can participate on Sunday by spending a little bit of money, buy your lunch out there. They're going to have a live auction for some really nice prizes. Got things for the kids, jumping the jump brooms, and they pass out the awards to the teams. The hunting times, if you're interested in participating in the hunt, is from noon on February 20th. It actually starts then, and it runs all the way till midnight on Sunday the 23rd. So you got lots of time to get in there. If you want to get a hold of Derek, shoot me a text, and I'll give you his contact information where you can get him if you're interested in bringing your team to participate in the Troops and Tusks 2025 activities. All right, something else I wanted to get to. This came up last week. Someone wanted to know, you know, steel shot, non-toxic shot, is required for waterfowl hunting. And they wanted to know which waterfowl it is restricted to, if not all. And I was pretty sure, but I wasn't quite sure. And I did the research on it and checked it out, so I have an answer for you. If you're hunting ducks, geese, brant, which is a close relative of geese, swans, which are legal in some states where they have them, and also the pooldoo or coots, and we're going to have a coot looter bad boy feature coming up a little bit later on, that requires that you use steel or non-toxic shot. Now, there are some species of migratory waterfowl that are considered waterfowl and are federally regulated that you are allowed to use lead shot. That would be woodcock, gallinules, rails, and snipe. A lot of people think you have to have steel to hunt those. Generally, you're hunting both. So particularly in the case of gallinules and rails, that's usually killed in conjunction with duck hunters. So if you're going to be duck hunting, you're probably better off having steel shot because you're going to have to make sure which ones you got. And also possession of lead shot while you're duck hunting is a no-no. So you kind of got to be hunting one or the other if you're going to be using the lead shot versus the steel. If you want to be safe all around, and in some areas, all the National Wildlife Refuges require that you use non-toxic shot for all game. I mean, even game like squirrels and rabbits. Go with the steel shot. You'll know you'll be safe. There's no place where steel shot is not allowed and lead is. All right, we got this question coming in. Good morning, Chris from Mandeville. Where would you recommend this weekend in my area to go fishing from the bank? All right, Lake Pontchartrain, which is right there in your neck of the woods, is loaded with blue catfish. I would say anywhere from the shoreline from Bayou Lacombe to the Mandeville Lakefront. try to get out as deep as you can and fish the bottom. You can catch some nice big blue catfish there. If you're looking for channel catfish, just take a ride to Zamuri Park in Hammond. That's also on the North Shore. That has been stocked with channel cats. In fact, if you go to Bayou Wild TV and go to our website, look on our YouTube page. This week's show that is airing, I did a demonstration on exactly that, catching channel cats in Zamuri Park, and I caught a lot of them and did it quick too. So there's a suggestion for you. Other than that, if you're looking for some bass fishing, well, I got some other suggestions, and let me know and I'll text you those too. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. It's time for Captain Mike Gallo. We got his Born on the Bayou report next, right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO, $249. That's for a whole year's membership where you'll get unlimited fuel drops, jump starts, tow back to the dock to get you safely home. It's like having a AAA policy on the water. One call to Captain Chris, who you'll be hearing from a little bit later on in this show, talking about some of those rescues he's made, 504-301-4545. Or you just simply go to cto.com and you can get yourself signed up. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, boy, been some very pleasant weather this week. How many trips did you get out, and how were they?
It has been a very pleasant week of warm weather and light winds. Clean water, higher than normal water temperatures, and better than normal for February fish activity. So it has been a really good week. Even had some fish caught with plastics under a popping cork. You know, most of the time in February, we're down on the bottom, fishing relatively slow, but this warm-up has the fish fanned out away from some of the deeper water and had good catches of fish. If you did fish any bait, live or dead bait, as you said earlier, there's quite a few blue cats in a lot of the deeper spots. I did find that the further I got away from the Pearl River, the water was much cleaner. The Pearl's kind of high for this time of year. I guess the snow from 2 weeks ago is finding its way down the Pearl, and that water is relatively dirty. So you got to head toward the south shore, you know, of Lake Catherine or Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, whatever direction you're planning on going. The good thing is all of those areas produced fish. So today looks like it's going to be kind of status quo the way it's been the previous part of the week.
Mike, you know, for people who are interested in redfish, I looked at that forecast this morning and those very light winds. If Lake Bourne is anything like Pontchartrain was yesterday, that's going to be clear sailing across that lake from the North Shore and get into the Biloxi Marsh and chase some redfish around. What's the fog situation by you right now?
It's just like Daryl Carpenter was talking about earlier. It seems to come and go. So I've seen some fog, and then it cleared up. So at the moment, it's pretty clear. We'll just have to wait and see if it continues like that, or once the sun comes up, it burns off. But I would tell people to be cautious with the low water. Plenty of low water out there. And obviously, if you do head toward the Biloxi Marsh, that's a relatively shallow area. CETO will come get you, but it's certainly easier to just avoid that shallow water and have a good day of fishing as opposed to a good day of being pulled off a mud flat.
Yeah, and it can happen quick on days like today because there's about a 2-foot tide range, which is almost as wide as the range gets in Louisiana. Mike, we talk about from time to time there can be such a thing as too much tide movement. Is there maybe a case of that today?
I wouldn't think so, Don. Our water temperatures are in the high 50s, low 60s, and generally I think of fish wanting to get out of current when that water is below 55. But it would be something that I would certainly pay attention to. You know, normally we like to fish water as it rolls around a point or behind a bridge or something such as that, where the current is being broken, like you said, by a point or by a bridge. And obviously, if you try that for 30, 40 minutes and don't catch anything, then I would start looking in – the eddies, where you can see the water making an eddy, and that's where that water will be swirling, and the fish can sit in the middle of that eddy and not really have to fight much current.
Mike, you mentioned you were catching some fish under popping corks on plastics, a little bit unusual for this time of the year. What specifically would those plastics be that would kind of match the hatch, so to speak, for this time of year?
Well, they were shrimp imitations or a lot of the clearer colors. So Daryl was also, I think it was Daryl was talking about the glass minnows, or maybe that was Robbie.
It was both of them. They both talked
okay.
about them.
So kind of a clear minnow imitation. I like the Matrix Holy Jolie, or he has a shrimp cocktail color that is kind of clear. And those were both very productive. A lightweight, you know, like an eighth ounce jig head. You want that thing to fall really slow after you pop the cork. Heavy line between your jig head and your cork. I use 30-pound monofilament when I'm setting up my popping cork, and all of that helps you have a slower rate of fall after you pop the cork, and that's important when you're still in this kind of cool water.
Exactly. Well, Mike, before you go, if somebody wants to check out your schedule and compare it to their schedule, see if you guys might be able to put a trip together, they can find you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. What other ways can they reach Mike Gallo?
Well, you can find me at AAofLA.com, social media at Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the old reliable telephone, 985-781-7811. And we're booking trips, got several captains, got on-site accommodations. I just did a little update on my website, some new pictures. So, we're ready to go for spring. The warm weather has got us all excited.
All right. Well, I'm going to check out your new and improved website at aaofla.com. Thanks for the report, Mike. Good luck today on the water. Enjoy this little warm-up while we got it, because I got a feeling there's going to be some chillier weather coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's the way it goes this time of year. Take advantage while you can.
Got it. All right, Mike, we'll see you next week.
Talk to you then, buddy.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou. All right, we come back after this, Captain Eric Mahabarak. He's kind of been down with a little bit of under-the-weather stuff, but that doesn't stop him from talking fishing. We'll get his report. Also, congratulate our other field reporter, Brendan Bayard, and his son. They took first and third places in that minimalist challenge. That report and more coming up after these messages on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is brought to you by the company with the right name, No Wake Outfitters, because they talk about fishing in vessels that do not leave a wake. We're talking about No Wake Outfitters on Airline Highway in Metairie at 1926 Airline. They're doing those Tackle Tuesdays. Stop by on a Tuesday. You'll find a really nice selection and some super deals. Also, I have that Fly Fishing 101 course. It's getting close. It'll be beginning on February the 15th. 3 to 4 hour class. It goes into depth through the fundamentals, followed with some hands-on casting instruction, and includes your first fly fishing rig. If you're interested in getting involved in fly fishing, check it out. You can get the rig, the rod, the reel, the line, the leader. It's a $250 class value. That's at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. You can check them out. Just do a search for No Wake Outfitters. And Captain Eric joins us now. And, Eric, you got bit by the flu bug. Oh, my God, what's wrong with you?
Oh, man, it got me, dude. It's bad. That's all I know is it's bad. I'm over it now, but, man, I'm weak. It's not like, you know, because I never get sick, and this thing knocked me for a loop. I lost 22 pounds.
Wow.
That's a good thing, you know. But, yeah,
well,
I'm getting
fish,
there.
Fish,
I'm getting
the fish
there.
Got a little bit of a break, huh?
Yeah, they sure did. They sure did. I'm ready to get after him, though, man. I'm tired of this house.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to him more about it next week when he's on, but we got to congratulate your counterpart, Brendan Bayard, and his son. First and third place. He and Graves did phenomenal in that minimalist challenge.
Yes, they did. You know, we can't forget about Dan in the middle. Some interesting stuff that went on. Brendan and Graves went out fishing together, and of course, Brendan ended up in first place, and then his son, who was fishing, of course, right next to him, ended up in third. Interesting thing about second place is Dan called it. He said he was putting his trolling motor on his boat, and he was going to go win the minimalist challenge. And I'll tell you what, he sat out and he took second place. It's pretty good for calling a shot, you know. But interesting crew there to come up in the first place, you know. So it's good to see that the future generations are coming into the kayak fishing world also.
Yeah, it was a tough tournament. There wasn't a whole lot of people in the field that even caught fish, were there?
No, there was only, I think, about 60 people that signed up, but only 14 of them turned in fish. You know, but it was a tough, tough day. And some of the hammers that we know didn't even catch a fish, you know. Just an interesting situation there.
Well, we had some really big change in the weather for the good this week. And how did that turn out on some of the areas?
Well, yeah, Don, you know, the fish have been good down in Port Sulphur. You know, they've been catching some redfish. Lake Pontchartrain, of course, our friend's been killing the catfish. And that's something right now that you know, if you're a single mom, you got a kid in a fishing pole, or a single dad, and you don't have a boat or something, get out to Lake Pontchartrain, throw some dead bait on the bottom. You can load the ice chest up with the catfish. You don't need a kayak. You don't need a boat. Just right off the bank. Been doing good. You know, but the typical haunts, you know, like they've been saying, you know, if the fish are starting to venture out from the holes with the warmer water and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to spring. Them big girls should be showing up.
Yes, indeed. You know, we got the City Park Bass Rodeo coming up, and they've got the boats on the bayou segment for the kayakers. They might want to look into that to get that signed up if you like to do a little freshwater fishing.
Yeah, Don, man, that's a great tournament, you know. And they got a lot out there for the kids, too, you know. That's another thing that goes on with that. It's just a fun time, that time of morning, you know, that time of year. They're catching gorgeous fish, too.
Now, what about the next event for the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club? What have they got on the list?
It's going to be Trout Challenge. I think it's going to be the 5 or 10 trout, artificial only. And I don't know if they're doing catch photo or release yet. I haven't checked the rules on that. But that's coming up, too, in March also. I believe it's the 26th, I think, is the big boats on the bayou.
29th.
So maybe it's right before boats on the bayou trout challenge. You have to look at the calendar. But, yeah, that's a good tournament also.
Well, Eric, you are back in action now. If somebody wants to charter you, you're one of the few people that offers kayak charters. And so are you ready to go? You ready for action?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Tell them to give me a ring or find me on your website. That's easy to do, Don Dubuque Outdoors. Or just give me a call, 504-313-8292.
The new leaner, but not any meaner, Eric Mohaber.
That's right. I'm just a little bit faster with my raccoon feet.
I'm sure you can find that weight you lost. I don't think you have a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next time. There he goes.
All right, Don. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Louisiana Kayak Company. Check him out on Facebook. All right. Coming back after this. Oh, yeah. We got a couple of bad boy stories. One, the case of the Coot Looters. And then some Louisiana guys that went over to our neighboring state of Texas and kind of showed their butt. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'm getting some reports, some texts and calls about the foggy situations, particularly in and around the metro New Orleans area. So be careful if you're out there on the roadways. And although this kind of ties into driving if you're going hunting or fishing, because it takes place early in the morning and a lot of times over water and bridges where fog can be an issue. But this applies to everyone. And one of our texters reminded me to please tell the dumb people on the interstate, turn off their flashes while moving. Flashes are for when you are stopped. And you know, most of the time, I think that's cases of ignorance. People don't realize it is against the law to put your flashes on when you're moving. It is only when you're stopped. And you can imagine if you approach a vehicle and you see the flashes on and you think it's stopped, you could cause you to slam your brakes on and maybe have the person behind you rear-end you. So Only use the flashes when you are actually stopped on either the side of the road or if you're immobilized, it's the law. All right, got a little prelude to our bad boy, our official bad boy feature. There was a Texas game wardens in Hamilton County recently busted a group of four unidentified hunters. Three of them were from Louisiana, hunting over there in Texas. They had three times the possession limit of legal limit of ducks. They had 54 ducks. One of the hunters had no license. They were all using lead shot, which is illegal. And when encountered upon, their excuse to the agents were, well, this was more ducks than we've seen all year. They kept coming, and we just kept shooting. Well, their fines and restitution is going to total somewhere around $7,000. And the ducks did end up at a local charity. Not exactly what you'd call good Louisiana ambassadors to our neighboring state of Texas. And Texas, unlike Louisiana, they do not identify alleged perpetrators of fish and game laws. So I do not have the names, but we might be able to get them. All right, right after this quick 10-second pause, it's our official Bad Boy of the Outdoor story for this Saturday morning. It's called the Coot Looters, and we're back with it right after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On December 29th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Corporal Shay Schecksnyder, Agent Dawson Gildig, they were on patrol in Plaquemines Parish when they made contact with Cullen Howes, never to be confused with this program's studio engineer, Cullen Steele. In Howes' boat, they found 32 coots, or poldu, which is the Cajun name that translates into water chickens. During this stop, the agents just happened to notice 12 more dead coots lying around in the surrounding marsh about 15 feet from Howes' boat. Following a little questioning, Howes fessed up that he and his buddy Drake Winkler were hunting together earlier that morning. Howes also admitted to throwing the 12 coots out of his boat when he noticed the agents were coming. The agents located the accomplice Winkler nearby in another hunting blind. So the 44 coots were 14 over the two-person and a generous possession limit, that is, of 15 per person per day, and it was time to seize the poldu that were eventually donated to a local charity and for the ticket book to come out. For taking over the limit of coots, wanton waste of migratory game birds, which covers the throwing them out of the boat, and intentional concealment, again, throwing them out of the boat, facing criminal fines of up to $2,850 and a civil restitution payback of another $205, or 23-year-old Cullen Howes of LaRose and 22-year-old Drake Winkler of Cut Off, Louisiana, our bad boys of the outdoors. Well, I know poldu are delicious, but about $3,000 for some poldu? Well, I don't know. If you cook them right, and you can find out how to do that in my recipe, The Old Lady Down the Bayou's Poldu Recipe. It's in John Foltz's cookbook called After the Hunt. You can figure out how the old lady down the bayou passed that recipe along to me. And I put it in John Foltz's book. It's an interesting story, and maybe another day when we got a little more time, I'll tell you more depth about that. All right, we got Ryan Lambert coming up. He's got a fishing report for you. And following that, we got Captain Chris is going to join us from Seato. You know, we talk about Seato each and every week, and he's made some really, I guess you'd say, harrowing experiences for the boaters and some very memorable rescues that he and his staff at Seato have made. And he'll also share some tips with you. So some of the common things that they get, why they have to go out and rescue people. But believe me, if you do need rescue, you'll be glad if you got a Seato policy. We'll be back to do those two things and then wrap it up right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, as we call him, is also known as Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. And Ryan, you saw where they extended the alligator season to December 31st. That's going to be a first. You can hunt ducks and alligators on the same day. How about that?
Well, I was at the meeting, and they figure that all the alligators will be caught the first two or three weeks, like always. Right. And that'll give the guys that guide them a little more time to fill out trips. So it won't be bad. You know, I don't think everybody's going to be out there. And plus, if you got tags left and you're out there duck hunting and you got a giant alligator you need to get rid of, you can. So, you know, we have a population explosion in alligators. I mean, we have, what, three times more than Florida. I mean, yeah. Florida, they're eating people, so we got to take care of them.
Overpopulation. Well, were you successful in getting your message heard about, you know, working the seasons on a coastal zone because of the tides?
Yes, I was. I got up and talked to them, and they're going to do it, but they can't do anything till next year. But in 2 weeks, this is very important for everybody, in 2 weeks they're going to put out a survey and get the opinion of the people. So everyone from the Atchafalaya all the way to Venice need to make sure that they fill that out and say, yeah, we definitely need a tidal zone to where – you know, because we only got to hunt 5 days with water between Christmas and the 31st of January, the way that it was set up, because it's set up for the people in North Louisiana. So if we get a tidal zone, we can have, you know, come straight through while we have water, then close it down, you know, that last weekend around Christmas, they got a week with no tide, and then open it up that one last week when we have tide in January and be done. Then we can go do whatever we got to do, but at least we'll be hunting with water and with ducks.
So they took no official action at the meeting, but they're going to do a survey, and based on the results of the survey, will lead to their next move, if there is any, correct?
Well, they can't do anything until next year because it's got a five-year increment. So next year we can make the decision and make this process happen. So we got one more year of bad hunting in negative tides, and then after that, we ought to be able to get out of it.
Well, you and I have always said it's ridiculous to have Shreveport and Burris and Venice on the same wavelength as far as season dates. So if people want to do that, who should they contact and what should they tell them? That they're interested in creating a tidal zone or a coastal zone? And
I think the survey comes out on the internet next week or 2 weeks from now, I think it's important then to fill out the survey, and that'll take care of it. Because, you know, Kevin Segura said, you know, we're aware of the problem already, you know, because I talked to him last year as well. But we can't do anything until the five-year increment is over. So next year, you know, if they get enough people to get back to him. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's taking away from our chance to kill ducks. And I told him, again, if we get an event like we had this year, on a negative tide and people out there hunting, it can be life-threatening.
It's dangerous,
at least, you know.
Yeah. It's downright dangerous for sure. Well, if people don't get a survey, which I'm sure they're going to use the duck stamp and the waterfowl, you know, license holders to send those out, the request by email, but if you don't, then you need to contact the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission and express your opinion to have it heard. So how'd the warm-up affect the fishing down there?
Yeah, I imagine it'll be on their page, too.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. The trout are here, they're biting, and the reds on the other side are really good. There must be 1,000 dead redfish back in Yellicott area. Hmm. All good fish, too, the 25 and up to bulls. You know, the big fish got hammered the most, which I thought was really weird. But, you know, even in the deeper canals, they got hammered. So, I don't know. Luke caught trout yesterday. I'm going to go today. In fact, me and Luke are probably going to go out after the fog and try to catch some more trout and check them out in different spots and see how they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't get a big trout kill here. Further to the west, there was a big trout kill. And there's a video going on Chandelier Island that will make you get nauseous. I mean, there's tons and tons of giant trout just dead in that crystal clear water. Just the whole bottom is just silver.
Hmm. Well,
the guys took five fish that weighed 30 pounds out of it.
Oh, gee. Yeah, well,
that's enough to make you sick, huh?
Yeah, to lose those big mamas, those big sow trout like that can be painful.
Wasn't like that, too, but that was from Chandelier, that video.
Yeah. Well, of course, sometimes those fish get congregated due to the tidal movements, and they could come from a wider range of areas and then just, you know, look like it all happened right in that spot, too. Those fish kills are very tricky things to gauge and to manage.
Oh, yeah.
So the bears watch,
you know,
they
could have just pushed them all up in that one spot, you know, just the currents, too, but still it's a lot of fish.
Yeah. All right. So what else is happening in the world of Cajun fishing adventures?
I think we just booking trips and getting things. We're changing all the oil and all the mud motors for the duck season next year. Getting them all ready, clean them up, and put wraps on those engines and get ready for that. And we'll do that today. And then working on a few things and trying to fish. But we book it like crazy, so it'll be a good year.
Yeah, well, that's great.
A lot of big trips, a lot of corporate trips. So, you know, we can hold 35 people. So, you know, those corporate guys can get in here with all their people. And it'll be fun. Well, I'm going to train Tori how to fly fish. We'll start that next week. I got one more trip to Noliasi on Thursday. I'm going down and do some quail and duck hunting. And that'll be my season unless I go to Missouri with the migrant shells. They want me to come try out some new shells on some geese. I said, okay.
Oh, what a tough job, huh? Somebody's got to do it, though, you know?
I said, if you want me to, I'll do it.
Well, the good thing is that iPhone travels with you. Give them that phone number if somebody's got any questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just 504-559-5111. And just go to CajunFishingAdventures.com and check it all out. So,
all righty. Wait the fog out and enjoy the warm weather, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Will do, buddy.
Okay, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. Great website, by the way. All right, coming back after this, Captain Chris joins us from Seato. He's going to tell you about some of his most memorable rescues and also some advice and tips during these low water tide range days when keep you out of trouble. We'll be back to talk to Captain Chris right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, closing out some of our last-minute text messages. My buddy Dean DeLattis, he's headed to Crane Creek in Papaville, going to get some quail with some friends. Well, good. You and Latte have a good time. I hope Smokey's sleeping. She didn't hear that. She'll be jealous. All right, I got this one. Tell Captain Chris Chip Clements said hello. Well, he's listening, so you just told him. And this one says, Poodoo Gumbo is the best. Well, I agree. It's very good, but you got to get the spelling and the pronunciation. It's Poodoo or Poodoo, as Bobby Hebert says. Poodoo? That does not sound appetizing. All right, the big man Bassin wants to know when I'm going to be at Marsh and Bayou in Mandeville. Again, that's Saturday morning, March the 15th. One of the only places you can get donuts and bourbon. Come on by and say hello. Here's one wants me to make a recipe book. All my recipes available on my website, absolutely free. That's DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. And this one says, if you ever attended a Super Bowl game, who do you think will win Sunday? I don't know. Who's playing? Let me know and I'll tell you. Joe in Biloxi wants to know if I'll be at the Mississippi Boat Show next weekend. Yes, I will. I will be there after the program airs. I will be seeing you there if you come by. And here's someone going to get a 36-foot contender that ran up in the Canes and Cubits Gap in Venice. Seato, be safe in the fog. Chris, that's not you going to rescue that 36 contender, is it?
That is not our territory. We did get that call this morning, and phone usually rings at 5 o'clock during Mardi Gras or Super Bowl. People Google Seato, and it's usually, hey, did y'all tow my car? Say, no, sir, but I go under the interstate bridge right there, and I bet you'll find it.
And you better bring cash, too. I can tell you that from personal experience.
Bring cash.
Yes, indeed. Well, tell us about some of the more memorable rescues. You guys are like, we call you AAA on the water. You come get people, bring them what they need, or bring them back if they need that.
Yeah, and you know, I think funny, you know, it's foggy this morning, and we did get woken up to that call, which is a call for Captain Rob over at Seato West Bank. And he texted me this morning. He's going out there to handle it. But on these foggy mornings, that's the number one thing we get. And it's not that they run aground on a sandbar. They put those boats in the Roseau Canes all the way up on the marsh. You know, the fog is definitely something you really got to be careful. And if you don't have radar and things like that, just wait it out. Let the sun come up. The fish will be there.
Tidal problems can be a big cause of you guys having to go out and do rescues, too.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, anytime we have that good north or northwest or even strong west blow, we know we're going to start getting calls in the Spoil Canal because for some reason, not everybody's figured out how to run that route yet.
Yeah.
And we get several. We have to, you know, we bring a pirog with us and we'll have to anchor our boat out and, you know, 600 feet to 1200 feet of line. We'll paddle it out. As long as we can get a line on that boat, you know, they come out pretty easily, you know, in the mud, but sometimes it takes an hour to paddle through that stuff.
stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, you guys have a very difficult, tough job. The conditions are harsh. You're either out there in the cold or in the mud or mosquitoes on a humid night, lightning striking. You got to go out and get people. But there's also a lot of reward in it. And I'm sure when you see the smiles and on the faces of those people who have been stranded and you guys showing up in that big yellow boat, you got to feel good about that.
It does. It feels great. And a lot of the time, you know, when we do pull up, when we get the call, sometimes people are a little nervous and frantic and short. And when they see that boat show up, you can see it in their face, especially the wives' faces if they're with the husband, that, hey, yeah, this ordeal is almost over.
Chris, tell me about a float plan. How important is that for people that go out? They don't tell anybody where they're going. So when the wife calls and says, my husband's overdue by hours, well, where'd he go, ma'am? I don't know. Then where do you start looking?
So, you know, with the float plan, you nailed it, Don. It's one of the most important things you can do. You got to tell people where you're going, which with fishermen, that can be a little iffy because we're not known to always tell the truth about yeah, where we're fishing.
That's right.
So have that, if it's not your buddy that you, because, you know, I don't trust half my buddies with my spots. So let your wife know, write it down. There's, you know, the U.S. Power Squadron and U.S. Coast Guard, they actually have forms for that, that right, you can just fill it out and leave it with your wife. If she has to call the Coast Guard, hey, my husband's overdue. And they call us as well to see, you know, if somebody did file a float plan or whatnot. But, and what's very important too, is sticking to your float plan. Because if you, you know, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to be out at Christmas Camp Lake and I'm, you know, hit fishing Smack Bay, but when you get to the marina, you see the wind or something's different, you go out to Black Bay,
yeah,
you know, and lose all communication, you got them looking in the wrong area. So yeah, it's important to file one and stick to it.
And at least, if nothing else, tell them at least what marina you went out of, you know, and ask them, well, it could be anywhere from Venice to Grand Isle, you know, and it simply leaves you in a real bind. Well, Chris, look, we're going to look forward to getting you on periodically and talking about some of these stories. They're very rewarding to hear, and it's always rewarding to know you guys are out there, and thanks for what you do. I'm going to let you give out that phone number and website one more time if somebody wants to get signed up.
Give us a call at 504-301-4545 or go to seatow.com.
Very good. Chris, have a good one, my friend. Thanks for all the hard work you guys do. That's Captain Chris with Seatow. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We're going to be back to do this again next week. We do it each and every week, 5 to 7 a.m. We talk about all the great outdoors, and we'll do it again next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.